What an amazing confession we have in the words of our text in Job 19:25-27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. A remarkable confession, I say to you, especially since it was made long before the coming of Christ, but a confession which has stood the test of time, so that the church and Christians throughout the ages echo it with hope and with joy. A word of God which was spoken to declare the glorious truth of our bodily resurrection. Clearly, the text does not speak of seeing God immediately after death in the Spirit. That truth is comforting enough, as we have seen now through several passages of Scripture in this series, Preparing to Die Willingly. The child of God knows that to be absent in this body is to be present with the Lord immediately. But remember, the child of God is saved, body and soul, and he rejoices that in his flesh he shall see God. Job says this beautifully as he contemplates the resurrection not only of his own body, but that of his Redeemer. It is remarkable that he should speak of Christ in verse 25, standing at the latter day upon the earth. Though my body is destroyed by worms, mutilated, corrupted in the grave, I shall see God. That's the hope of the final resurrection. As part of our series on death, Preparing to Die Willingly, we want to consider that hope of the child of God. In my flesh shall I see God. That's the blessed hope of the final bodily resurrection. Though after my skin worms destroy this body. When Job writes this, he clearly is speaking, first of all, of the destruction of this body. This is his present experience, of course. He has suddenly lost all his possessions and all his children in one day. And yet he was able by the grace of God to say, as he did in Job 1:21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But he himself now has been personally touched with painful disease of boils from head to toe, and he is suffering greatly. Can you imagine that torment? Not only physical, not only loss of all his possessions and loved ones, but now his friends refuse to have anything to do with him. His own wife refuses to have anything to do with him. And his closest friends turn away. And those friends who do stay accuse him of sin. Job, all this has happened to you because of your sin. Repent or continue to face the wrath of God. And what does Job do? By faith, Job looks beyond his death at the hope of the final resurrection. Oh yes, he is realistic about his death. He realizes that this, his body, will enter the grave and rot. Job knew that. He confessed that earlier in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. In verse 2 of that same chapter, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. Notice also in our text that Job is clearly talking about his death. Job 19:26. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, he says. And again in the last part of verse 27, though my reins be consumed within me. Job faces squarely the horror of death and the consequences of death, the rotting away of this body. He knows what the word of God declared in Genesis 3:19, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Yet, in spite of the reality of death, Job knew he will see God. In fact, he emphasizes it this way, whom I shall see for myself and not another. If you argue that he can't be referring to his own seeing, note what he says, which mine eyes shall behold and not another. But how can that be? Does not Job know that this present body must enter the grave? Yes, but he knows something else. He knows that which only the child of God knows by faith. He knows that his mighty Redeemer would one day come and more fully reveal the glorious promise that the dead shall rise again. On the one hand, he says, I'm going to die. This flesh is going to rot. But on the other hand, in my flesh shall I see God. Some have said that what Job means is out of my flesh, that is, without my flesh, I shall see God. From my flesh, that is, apart from my flesh, even without my flesh, I shall see God. Now, it is true that the child of God does not need this body to see God. It is true that the Christian's death is abolishing of sin and a passageway to life eternal. It is true that Jesus comes at death to bring his own to Father's house of many mansions. But it is also true that Job is in fact thinking about his own death and the corruption of his body, but looks beyond to the realization and to the confirmation of his resurrection, so that he will see God in his flesh. Yes, even if my flesh corrupts in the grave, I will see God. Even though this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, as 1 Corinthians 15 verse 50 says. Yet, conclusion cannot be drawn that Job says in this word of God that he will no longer have the privilege with this body to see God. Let us read again his words. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins, my skeleton, my bones are eaten up, yet I shall in this flesh see God. Notice that. I shall see God. My eyes shall behold him. Job knew God would not leave him forever to rot in the grave, but rather he would rise again from the dead. No, not with another body, some strange body which was not his, but with this body he will see God. Yes, our death means that the body must enter the grave, while our souls immediately go to be with God. And yes, our bodies rot in the grave, but the scriptures teach us that at the resurrection, our souls will reunite with our bodies, and in the twinkling of an eye, God will give to us those new bodies, which will be ours in the new heavens and the new earth. This body which God has given me will also be redeemed. I will be saved body and soul. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ came, the glorious Son of God in the flesh, so by his death and resurrection, he saves his people body and flesh. Flesh and Spirit. And as Job says, with this body, in this flesh, we shall see God. I believe in the resurrection from the dead. Do you? There is no doubt Job could make this confession years ago because he believed in the resurrection from the dead. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be his name. That is true. That was Job's confession at the beginning of this book. And we must begin there in our pilgrimage, knowing that all things come from the hand of God. But I want you to remember that there is another lesson in the book of Job, which we should not forget. That the Lord Almighty is faithful, and he restores again, even after our greatest loss and sorrow. God did so for Job, remember, in the end, when he had once again his children and possessions, even more than when he began. God is faithful to restore. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, but the Lord restores again and multiplies. And even more than all the earthly blessings that Job desired, he desired this, to see God. No, he could not fully understand why everything had happened to him that did happen to him. Those friends of his thought that they understood, but they were wrong. Some of the things they said were right, but their conclusion was absolutely wrong. They asked him to repent. They asked him to repent of some sin that he had committed against God. But no, Job knew. And allow me to apply this to the recent tragedy of 9/11. It is true that God sends judgment to the wicked, but we must be careful not to judge or to know the mind of God. It's not the case that all who died in that tragedy were the enemies of God. God may have other purposes, to chastise His church perhaps for slumbering in apostasy and in slumbering in the work of missions. Perhaps God is awakening in us, His people, show to us open doors that we have to spread the gospel yet more diligently abroad, but also at home. In sending wars and rumors of wars, awakening in us that zeal that this gospel must go to the nations before Christ will return. Causing us as His people to realize that indeed the greatest treasure that we have is not in the possessions of this present life, but in the eternal life that God has given to us in His Son. Job came to that conclusion. God was testing him to see what was most precious to him. You remember that this was, after all, the beginning of the story recorded in the scriptures of Job, where Satan came with the accusation that this servant was righteous and eschewed evil, all because God had built an hedge round about him. And so because he had all those gifts, he trusted in God. But if God would remove all those gifts, then Job would curse God and die. Oh no, oh no. Job, by the grace of God, came through. In spite of all his sufferings, what was his greatest desire? To see God, to love and understand God, to know God now and unto all eternity. Is that also your hope and aspiration by the grace of God? In this flesh, to see God? The solid ground of this assurance that Job had, he tells us himself, "For I know my Redeemer liveth." Job knew God not only as his Maker, his Provider, his Sustainer, his Defender, but also as his Redeemer. Job could have said, "For I know my Maker lives. I know He's my Defender and He's my Judge, and He will bring all things to pass." But no, Job had come to know the mercies of Jehovah, and he knew he needed a middleman, a mediator, far greater than any human. And that is the beautiful and rich idea of Redeemer in the Holy Scriptures, one who comes to avenge, to set right what was wrong, to plead on behalf of, or to buy back. Job had lost everything. He was helpless. He could not deliver himself, and all his friends had forsaken him. Who would plead on his behalf? Who would deliver him from this present distress and maintain his cause? No one. But then he remembered, and then he knew, "I know my Redeemer, he liveth." That's what he cries out. Job was sure he would see God in this flesh only because he saw Christ, his Savior. I realize Job is one of the most ancient writings passed down to us in the Old Testament scriptures. I realize he lived thousands of years before the Messiah came, and I realize this seems so impossible. I searched every possible commentary to see if this was really possible. Job saw Christ. No, I am not saying Job could fully understand how God would accomplish all this. We now, of course, have the better promises according to Hebrews 11 because Christ has already come. We have seen the wonder of the gospel that Christ was sent, the Son of God in the flesh on this earth, to die for our sins. And then by His resurrection and ascension, He is sitting at the right hand of God, only to return again at the latter day to stand on the earth as the conquering King and Judge. But something of all this Job saw, and so confessed, "I know my Redeemer liveth." Father Abraham saw that day of Christ and rejoiced in it. John 8, we read that they mocked at Christ, saying he was not only 40 years old, and yet he spoke of Abraham seeing him and rejoicing to see his day. And of course, the response of our Lord Jesus Christ was, before Abraham was, I am. The second person of the triune God, co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit. Job, by faith, saw God and recognized God as his maker and defender, not only, but as his redeemer. As his Redeemer who lives and who will stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job knew that this his Redeemer not only lives, but shall stand at the latter day on the earth. Ultimately then Job saw Christ standing as the judge at the latter day on the earth. Perhaps he could not see as clearly that Job would come by way of incarnation and then the crucifixion and then the glory with which he will return. Some say all this is giving too much to Job. He could not have seen so long ago all these details. Perhaps so, but I believe Job knew somehow by faith that all this will mean that his Redeemer will stand at the latter day upon the earth by way of the resurrection, for he connects his own bodily resurrection to the glorious knowledge that his Redeemer lives and would stand at the latter day upon the earth. How could he or anyone else see God in the flesh, except the Redeemer would come, and then would die, and rise again, and return upon the clouds of glory, and stand at the latter day upon the earth. Really, after all, what Job expresses here is a confession made by all the Old Testament saints. Hebrews 11 verses 12 and following. They saw the promises of God. They embraced those promises and they confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on this earth. They saw the land of the living. They sought the city which have foundations whose builder and maker is God. Their heart was not set on this world, not even on the promised land, but in heaven itself. How could they but by faith of the Son of God who liveth, was dead, but is alive again forever? How could they? Except through that faith of the Son of God. Job knew he would see God in the land of the living, and that in fact his body would be raised from the dead. By faith he could say, for I know my Redeemer lives, and because he lives, I shall live also. There is a reason behind this bold conviction. Again, the text begins with a four, connecting it with verses 23 and 24. Where we read, oh, that my words were now written, oh, that my words were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and let in the rock forever. Job wanted these words, especially this confession of our text, to be written down. Many things, of course, he had said when he was down and out, and which I suppose he had hoped would never be remembered. But oh, that my words, these words that I am about to speak, were now written, printed in a book, graven with an iron pen and let in the rock forever. Why these words? Why not all the other words which he had spoken? Because particularly what he was about to say he knew was the very word of God. By divine revelation he had received these words. It was not something of human invention at all. He believed by faith, and so he spoke, and he wanted it recorded for all times for the Church of Jesus Christ. For I know my Redeemer liveth. These words I want written forever in a book, graven with an iron pen and let in the rock forever, because this I know to be true, my Redeemer liveth. These words carried him through when everything was against him, when his own body was rotting, when his own friends forsook him, when he was down in the dust. But one thing he knew for sure, I know my Redeemer lives, and so in this flesh I too shall see God. You see, he found his assurance not in himself, not in his friends, but in the unchangeable word of God. It is good to have that consolation of friends and fellow saints, I know, in times of death and separation. I'm sure during this time of tragedy, we give and receive words and works of compassion, but we must not depend on them or be wary when instead we get mockery and false accusations and lack of support and love from human friends and loved ones. for the eternal destiny of your soul and body and mind must not rely on men's word and men's care. Men's word will pass away, but it is God's word which will endure forever. And His word tells us clearly, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, lives. He was and is and ever is to come. When you face sorrow and distress in this present life, is this also your confession? When the heavy hand of God is upon you, so that you suffer sickness and poverty and sorrow? Or when you are falsely accused for the sake of the truth of God to which you hold? Or when you face the reality of death, your own or death, that of a loved one? Then is this also your confession? I know my Redeemer lives. Believest thou this? He who believes Christ shall never die, and though he die, yet shall he live. If you don't believe, the only word I bring to you is, kiss the Son, lest ye perish in the way, Psalm 2, lest his wrath be kindled but for a moment, and ye find yourself in everlasting torments. But if you do believe, be of good courage. Say with Job, I know my Redeemer lives. Now is not the time to be wishy-washy about our faith and say, well, nothing is certain. Oh no, now is the time to let our faith shine as gold and say, I know, I absolutely know my Redeemer lives, and therefore I know in this flesh I shall see God. Can you say that with Job of old? Is that your highest goal, your greatest desire, your most blessed hope, that you now and forever shall see God in Jesus Christ? Then rejoice, for blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Eternal God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow in reverence and adoration of Thee as we look to Thee in hope, in faith, and in love for our resurrection through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.